Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. Live from Houston and simulcasting on the Voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV. This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to Hour 2, everybody. You found the Chris Salcedo Show. Our telephone number is 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. I mentioned earlier that the leftists out there, they want to, the leftists in the Texas House, they want to basically take away your right of school choice while simultaneously abandoning you to the ravages of what's happening inside of GovEd, the LGBTQ, ABCDFG, cultural Marxism. They want to abandon you to the hate whitey theory, the critical race theory, and they just want to take your money and abandon you. So too is it with guns. So too is it with all of the crime the Democrat Party is unleashing on this country, and then they want to take away your firearms to be able to defend yourself from their criminals. The Democrats are the party of the criminal, by the criminal, and for the criminal. And I don't think that's wise. I don't think we should let them steal our rights. How many of you are willing to let Democrats and their Republican enablers steal your rights? The polling says that many of you are starting to buy their gun confiscation rationale. And so let's talk about this with my guest, Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's an economist and a worldwide recognized, say that three times fast, expert on guns and crime. He was also the chief economist at the United States Sentencing Commission and is well known for his book, More Guns, Less Crime. Dr. Lott, welcome back.
Well, it's great to talk to you again, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
So you decided to put some of these gun grabbers to a test. You decided to make them a bet on what's going to happen, not in America, but in Brazil. Give the folks the background and what has transpired here over the last few years in Brazil.
Well, Brazil's had very dramatic changes in its gun control laws over the last 5 or 6 years or so. And, you know, haven't seen anything quite as dramatic here in the United States. And many gun control type academics have spoken out and on Brazil over the time. So under the previous president, Bolsonaro, they had a 600% increase in the number of people in Brazil that were legally licensed to be able to go and own a gun. He also made it possible for people to be able to go and carry concealed. He allowed people to increase the number of guns that they owned. And across the world, there were gun control academics and the media who were claiming that that was a recipe for disaster. Brazil's extremely high murder rate, they were predicting, was going to soar and go up. In fact, the murder rate in Brazil fell by 34% while Bolsonaro was president, the exact opposite of what everybody was predicting. So fast forward to this year, and January 1st, a new president was sworn in, Lula, a socialist, mm-hmm. and his very first executive action was to ban the sale of new guns or any ammunition, was to outlaw concealed carry, was to reduce the number of guns that people could legally own. And he was promising that over the next year or so, he was going to change the rules for people having licensing and take away many people's licenses to legally own guns, to dramatically reduce the number of people who own guns. And so those are very dramatic changes that were occurring. And a number of pro-gun control academics in the United States have spoken out saying what a wonderful new policy he has. One person, Dan Webster, who's kind of runs the gun control research at the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins was out there claiming recently in the Washington Post that each 1% increase in gun ownership in Brazil would results in a 0.6% increase in homicides in Brazil. And so I said, well, you know, that would have been, under Bolsonaro, that would have meant a 360% plus increase in homicides when it fell by 34%, actually. And so it kind of goaded me into trying to think of some way to kind of make these guys put their money where their mouth is. They have no problem telling the media, you know, how important gun control is in terms of reducing homicides and violent crime. They tell state legislatures or Congress the same thing. So I offered them a bet. I said, if you're right about these things, you obviously expect the murder and homicide rates in Brazil to plummet over the next couple of years. If the murder rate and homicide rate goes down, I'll pay you $1,000. If it goes up, you pay me $1,000.
Whoa, wait a minute. So hold on. How many of these people did you make the bet with?
I offered 12 academics the bet.
12? Okay, so let me get this straight. It was 1 against 12. You said, and just so folks understand, you said that as Lula, the socialist, supported by Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, and frankly, our CIA, the Democrat socialist, if his gun confiscation and gun restrictions cause crime to go down, you will pay out $12,000 to each one of them. If you turn out to be right, each one of them will pay $1,000 to you. So, wow. So they have very little risk compared to the risk you're taking, correct?
All right. Well, yeah, each one would have paid me $1,000, or I would have paid each one of them $1,000. So that would have been $12,000. Wow. I would have had to pay if they all took it. Let me ask you.
How many of them said, I'll take that bet? How many of them put their money where their mouth is?
None of them.
Now, that leads, do they just know how well-researched you are, or do they know that what they're saying, that gun confiscation and gun restrictions lead to less crime, they know it's utter BS, and that they don't want to risk $1,000? Which one is it?
Yeah, I can't get into their minds, obviously, on what was their motivation. Seven of them, despite repeated attempts to reach out to them, wouldn't even respond. The five that did respond, you know, they had various things. A few of them basically said that betting was a good idea, but they just weren't sure it was going to make a difference, even though that's not what they said publicly.
That's hilarious.
One guy, John Donahue from Stanford, kept on arguing that, we should bet on what's happened in the past in terms of changing crime rates. He wanted to pick Houston versus New York over a certain set of years. And I said, John, you know, I don't know if you have bet before on these things, but usually bets involve things that are going to happen in the future.
Right. You don't bet on known stuff. You know what I mean? Now, hold on. Now, what was his analysis at all accurate about Houston and New York?
It wasn't. I don't think. And he and I argued back and forth in a series of emails whether or not he was correctly even interpreting that data. The other thing he brought up, he said, you have to compare, you know, how one crime rate is increasing or decreasing relative to another crime rate. He said that's the reason why he wanted to compare Houston and New York City over the particular years that he wanted to pick. And I said, well, okay, fine. So we'll go and look at Brazil's murder rate relative to the neighboring countries next to Brazil. And you wouldn't do that either.
No, you wouldn't do that either. Well, look, Dr. Lott, I, as you know, Beijing Biden is out there. He is using the bodies of dead children to blame every law-abiding gun owner out there for the tragedy in Uvalde, Texas, when it wasn't law-abiding gun owners' fault that this happened. It was government's failure that this happened. And all of these mass shootings, we're finding that it's government that is failing because all of their so-called laws that were supposed to protect us, they all promised would decrease crime. They don't. They don't.
Well, they're the opposite.
It's quite, and the stats show that. So what is your take that now Joe Biden appears to be winning this argument, though, with these mass shootings? The polls are showing, at least NPR, how, if you want to put any faith in an NPR Marist poll, seems to be showing that Americans are, they are tempted to believe that gun control actually reduces crime.
Right.
What do you do about that?
I have a lot of problems with the way the questions are worded for NPR. So, for example, their first question that they have is, do you think it's more important to protect gun rights or to, have gun control to reduce gun crime? And, to me, the question isn't protecting gun rights. The question is both. Everybody wants to reduce gun crime that's there. The question is which policies are going to do it. Do you let people defend themselves? Is that going to be able to reduce it? Or do you have stricter rules that take away people's guns? That's the question. That's the way I would have phrased the questions that's there. It's kind of like, do you support reducing violent crime or do you support just the right of people to own guns is the way they want to go and phrase it?
Well, their assumption, Dr. Lott, and correct me if I'm wrong, their assumption is, and it was a false choice. They said, do you want to sign on to gun control to bring down crime, or do you believe in people's rights, as if rights would also not be equally plausible to bring down crime? And a lot of people don't know the data the way you do. And as it turns out, stats show that the more people that partake in their rights, that has a positive impact on the crime rate, meaning we get less crime when people undertake their Second Amendment rights. Is that not true statistically?
That's right. So take school shooting attacks. We have thousands of schools across the United States that have armed teachers, thousands of public schools. In Texas, it's nearing 40% of the schools have armed teachers and staff. Yep. And you have 20 states that to varying degrees have armed teachers and staff. And you can look there all since 2000, all of the attacks where anybody's been wounded or killed, every single one, has occurred in schools where teachers and staff are not allowed to carry concealed handguns. And anybody who reads the diaries or manifestos for these mass murders knows that it makes a difference. You take the Nashville Covenant school shooter. The Biden administration has been holding on to the manifesto and won't release it. But the Nashville police chief had gotten a look at it before it was turned over to the Biden administration. And one of the things that he announced at a press conference was that, in fact, this murderer had another target that they had in mind, that they was their first target. But they had decided not to go with that because of armed security that was present there.
And then they decided
to go after the school.
And that's so important. And again, the biased press largely didn't report on that. And the Biden administration, because it disrupts their narrative, they don't report the news because it disrupts their narrative. Folks, what Dr. Lott was saying is absolutely true. that the shooter in Nashville that slaughtered six Christians, including three children, that the trans shooter was going to choose another target, but because it had armed security at that target, that then the trans shooter decided, no, I'm just going to go to a place where I know I can do the most damage without getting any resistance, the way any criminal would. Dr. John Lott is our guest right now, folks. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. So I guess the last question I have for you, Dr. Lott, is with defections from the Republican side, who used to be solidly pro-Constitution, now many of these Republicans, like John Cornyn of Texas, have signed on to the propaganda and giving away our Second Amendment rights on the false promise that that's going to stop gun violence. How do we turn this around and make sure that the American people don't give up this vital right of self-defense?
I guess just learning the types of facts that you and I have been talking about here. I guess it's not too surprising that some politicians begin to cave over time. The media constantly has a drumbeat there, but I think the media's had a huge impact on the gun control debate. So, you know, it's not just the Nashville school shooting. Time after time, the Buffalo mass murderer last year, many others in their manifestos and diaries explicitly explain why they picked the targets that they did. The number one reason that the Buffalo mass murderer gave was the same as what the Nashville school shooter did. He wanted to go to a place where he knew his victims wouldn't have permanent concealed handguns. These guys want to get media attention, and they know the more people they kill, the more media attention that they're going to get. And so, they're not stupid. They may be crazy in some sense, but they know if they go to a place where the victims are not able to defend themselves, they're going to be able to go and get more media attention because they're going to be able to kill more people.
First off, and to your point, you're right that there are some leaders who have been around so long, like John Cornyn, they just don't have the devotion to the Constitution and the devotion to our people to actually have the wherewithal to stay the course, number one. But number two, I think I've never heard it quite phrased just the way you did. I think that we can safely say that the folks in the biased press, the folks in the media, they are the greatest accomplices to these mass shooters, because they're the ones who bury all of the negative facts that would protect Americans in favor of this gun confiscation narrative. So I think it's fair to say that the mass shooter's best friend is the basket of biased press, no?
Unfortunately, they've had a huge impact. I mean, I think the entire debate right now would be very different if even once in a while in these manifestos and diaries, the media would report that part of those manifestos where they explain why they pick the targets that they do. Yep. Because over and over again, they make the same points. But the media is just so incredibly selective on this stuff. I mean, you read the Washington Post and New York Times over the last year after the Buffalo mass murder, for example, and they will keep talking about him as an example of right-wing white supremacy conservative violence out there.
Nope.
The Biden administration has pointed out. The New York Times has had like 8 editorials going and doing it. The thing is, the guy was a racist, but the media wants to go and claim anybody who's a racist is automatically a conservative. The guy was an environmentalist. He hated blacks because he thought we had too many people and that blacks were having too many children. He calls himself a socialist. He calls himself an eco-terrorist. I don't know. Maybe you have a lot of conservative friends who are upset with people who have kids. Maybe you have a lot of conservative friends who call themselves socialists and eco-terrorists. But I don't.
I don't know one. I don't know one conservative, Dr. Lott, who calls himself or herself a socialist. That is the exclusive purview of the Democrat Party and those on the Republican side who support the Democrat Party, like the leadership of the Texas House. Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Sir, I always appreciate the visit. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thank you for being there, Chris.
Telephone number is 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Wow. I'll be right back. Anybody, hey, how many of you want to go along with the Texas House Republicans and John Cornyn? Give up your guns. Come on, let's do it. Everybody's doing it. Let's all go into socialism together, right, kids? How many of you care? I'll be right back. The Salcedo Show on the Voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
South Africa beats the climate goal as blackouts slash emissions. Actual headline. In other words, the international net zero Green New Deal agenda is literally helping countries meet the climate goals, not because solar and wind are just taking over and emissions are dropping, but because of the restrictions on fossil fuels are forcing energy shortages and blackouts, which is then reducing emissions. The same way recessions reduce emissions. The same way the COVID lockdowns reduce global emissions about 7%. So South Africa is an outclimate. Climate hero as blackouts spread across the country and poor people have no running water and electricity. Isn't this wonderful? They're meeting their climate goals. In fact, they're ahead of the target for cutting emissions of greenhouse gas. Bloomberg actually writes, regular breakdowns of coal-fired power plants that supply more than 80% of South Africa's electricity mean less carbon dioxide is being pumped into the atmosphere. There you go. It's unintentional, the executive director of the Climate Commission said in an interview. He said it's very difficult to recommend the decommissioning of power stations in the middle of an energy crisis. You think?
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yao Noi and experience our magic places. Magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
This is the sound of a generation rising above. The Commemorative Air Force honors the heroes of yesterday while educating and inspiring the heroes of tomorrow. You can learn more at soundsofhistory.org.
Chris Salcedo on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Folks, I've given you a lot to chew on this morning. The idea that we're devoid of heroes, the idea that we have betrayers in the Texas House who call themselves Republicans who deliver Democrat priorities. And also, the Texas House, the Democrats are working to take away your rights, your ability to defend yourself from them and their policies. Dave, glad you made it here to the Chris Salcedo Show. What say you on the Voice of Texas and TNT Radio?
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing on this lovely day?
On this pre-Memorial Day Friday, I'm fine, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, and happy Memorial Day to you. Memorial Day weekend to you. Back at you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen. It's very clear that the voters of the state of Texas, it's an indictment on them. Because I voted for Ken Paxton, and those Texans also voted for Ken Paxton, and I believe that Democratic Speaker Dave Phelan is his name?
Dave Phelan, yes.
Dave Phelan. He has had it against AD Paxton for years. He wanted to, you know, have him being out of that, you know, position as the attorney general for years.
Well, the question is why? Because all the attorney, well, yes, I mean, at bottom, but the practical ramifications of having Ken Paxton inside of that office has been a complete 100% robust defense of Texas. Whereas, let's just be honest, Speaker Phelan and his brand of Republicans have been surrendering on many fronts the safety and security of the people of Texas. And, you know, and they're celebrating that, sometimes with adult beverages, allegedly. So, could it be, Dave, that it just Ken Paxton makes these other so-called Republicans look bad? I mean, that these Republicans, like, for example, they wanted to make sure that Communist China and Mother Russia and the People's Republic of Iran can continue to buy land in the great state of Texas to spy on us, to put our food supply at risk, to spy on our military bases. The Texas Republican majority, their leadership, wanted to continue that practice. Now, the Senate, conservatives in the Senate said it's a bad idea to sell property to your nation's enemy. But, folks, do you think that the Republicans who run the Texas House, just like Joe Biden, took a payday, would be willing to sacrifice the safety and security of the state of Texas just so certain people, well-connected people, can make money off of the communists? Do you think that's what happened here? I'm wondering. And do patriots do that? How many of you would take money to sell out your country? Show of hands, how many of you would do that? 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. That's our phone number. If you want to weigh in, you folks on TNT Radio have your own phone numbers to call. The Voice of Texas, the Chris Salcedo Show, and TNT Radio.
What brings you here?
News entirely.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Germany has officially slipped into a recession as household spending in the world's fourth largest economy finally succumbed to the pressure of high inflation, soaring energy bills, and rocketing interest rates. A grim new study found COVID lockdowns likely caused more harm than good, with wide-ranging collateral damage to be felt for years to come. And Russia and Belarus have signed an agreement to deploy Russian tactical nuclear weapons in Belarusian territory.
Our lines are open. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-3100. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
911.
Please help me.
Hello, sweetie. Stay calm. What's going on?
I need to get out of here. Help me, please.
I need you to calm down. I'll help you. First, tell me your name and your age, okay?
My name is Shelly. I'm 6 years old.
Shelly?
Yes.
Okay, honey, I'm right here with you. I'm going to help you through this, okay? Where are you?
I'm here in the square.
Are you trapped somewhere? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Are you trapped somewhere, Shelly?
It's very tight, and he doesn't let me out.
Shelly, is someone keeping you locked up there? Is that it?
Yes, there's a bad man. He asks me to do things, and if I don't, he hurts me. Please help me.
Calm down, okay?
He's getting close. He's coming.
Shelly, are you listening? Shelly, I can't hear you. Shelly!
If I told you that Shelly is a whale, would you still help? Protect marine life. Support Sea Shepherd.
The Honor Flights Network is a national non-profit effort that comprises over 130 independent hubs nationwide, working together to show our veterans the appreciation and honor they deserve. Participation in an Honor Flight trip to Washington, D.C. war memorials gives veterans the opportunity to remember friends and comrades lost, and to share their stories and experiences with other veterans. The Honor Flight Network is currently serving veterans from the World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War eras, and all honored veterans travel at no cost to them. It is the volunteers and sponsors of the local hubs that make the mission succeed. Go to honorflight.org to learn how you can donate your time or treasure to honor those who gave so much to us. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chris Salcedo Show. Our telephone number is 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. You know, folks, the House was so legitimate in their move to impeach A.G. Paxton, they wouldn't let him have his representative, his attorney, speak. That's how secure these children were. Let me get out to Willie. Willie, glad you made it. Chris Salcedo Show here on The Voice of Texas and TNT Radio. What's on your mind this fine Friday?
Happy Friday. I saw assault weapons, Chris. You know what? I read a lot, bro, whether y'all know that or not. You know, Reagan signed the assault ban weapon. You know that, right?
Yeah. So
that made him a socialist, right?
No. First off, there's no such thing as an assault weapon that is available for civilian use.
But what I'm saying, didn't he ban some guns? Didn't he ban a gun?
I don't remember if it was Reagan or it was Clinton that signed that into law.
It was Reagan. It was Reagan, Chris. You can Google it. You can search it. My point is...
Right. Well, and actually, hold on. The point is that we went through 10 years. They gave it 10 years to see if it led to any appreciable decrease in crime. Guess what? It didn't. Guess what? It had zero impact on crime. Getting rid of people's firearms didn't have any impact on crime. So when Bush allowed it to expire, which he should have, it was a restoration of freedom. It had no impact whatsoever. So we should always decide to go with freedom rather than curtailing freedom, because there's nothing meritorious about telling any of our fellow citizens they can't do something, especially when there's no appreciable benefit for it.
The question should be, do the government got the power to ban certain weapons?
No,
that
they
should
don't.
Should be the argument.
No, it shouldn't be. I disagree.
And you have a bazooka, sir.
I disagree.
And you have a bazooka.
Sure. Sure you can. There's no prohibition on owning a bazooka.
Cannon.
Yes, you can.
And you have a cannon.
Yes, you can.
Come on, Chris. No, you can't. You can't have no
bazooka,
man.
Not against the... No. I know that your occupier of the Oval Office, Beijing Biden, has said...
No, I'm a realist,
that
Chris.
No, wait a minute. I know he said you can't own a cannon, but you can. As a matter of fact, if you go through licensing and you go through training and you go through proper permitting, you can actually own an automatic weapon if you do all that.
Can you own a bomb?
Can you own a bomb?
Yes.
Yeah. You can build a bomb.
But did they ban bombs? Did they ban cannons? Did they ban bazookas? Did they do all of that?
No.
Okay, Chris.
No.
So you can have a bomb.
Well, you can have a bomb. You can't use one, because that's the commission. That's when you become a criminal. But if you built a bomb,
if
you built a bomb right now in your backyard, are you violating a law by building a bomb? Tell me which law,
Chris. You cannot
tell
own
me which law.
A bomb, Chris.
Tell me which law, Willie. Just tell me which law that is.
I'm just saying that stuff is banned, Chris.
Tell me which law banned that. Wait a minute, Willie. You read a lot, right? So tell me which law banned that.
Chris, you cannot have a bomb. I don't know which law it is.
All right.
A bomb is banned.
Now let me push back on this idea that you're saying that if the government has the power, because I know you guys always focus on government's power. I understand that. I am more concerned about the rights of the individual and our constitutional rights. And the single trigger pull per one bullet is called semi-automatic weapons. Now, these weapons are legal, and these weapons are and should be legal for the American people to possess. And we shouldn't be focused on government's power to deny those rights, as only real Americans concentrate on preserving our rights. People who are not real Americans
every day, Chris. I'm not saying they ain't taking your rights. They take your rights every day. Once you let government take one right, they can take another.
Well, we shouldn't allow that.
And both parties do it.
We shouldn't allow that then, should we?
Enjoy your weekend, Chris.
Thank you. Willie, I mean, you don't want to answer that last part? We shouldn't allow them to take our rights, should we? 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Sam, hello.
Yes, sir. This is Chris?
It is.
Hey, Chris, I just got a question I'm going to throw out about these jerks, I'm going to call them, that are blocking the subpoena request. I've been watching nightly, and I haven't heard what Mark Levin read the Constitution law on these anybody that violates the call of a subpoena from Congress. It's actually a law, and he read that right to me, and I just want to know why some of the people up there that they talk about, and they look frustrated, you know, that's doing the investigation, like, you know, they're blocking everything. They don't know what to do. Do you know that according to Mark Levin, he read this in the Constitution, that Congress has a lot of power when it comes to subpoena. And that means that they can actually...
Hold on, Sam, I got to tell the folks who you're talking about first.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You're talking about Christopher Wray. He is the degenerate director of the FBI. He is one of the primary drivers of the politicization of the FBI. And Christopher Wray is sitting on a document, and he and Merrick Garland, who is the failed Supreme Court nominee who runs the Injustice Department right now, they are sitting on a document, is an unclassified document that shows that Beijing Biden traded away policy for cash from a foreign national. And the FBI has said, we're in a protection racket for Democrats, much like the Republicans who run the Texas House. They're in a protection racket for Democrats, too. So what the FBI has said is, no, we're not going to turn over this document after a lawful subpoena issued by Congress. Now, according to the Constitution, Congress has oversight authority over the FBI. But the FBI is under the impression that they actually run the show. So they are saying, no, we're not going to comply with a congressional subpoena. And James Comer has said, if you don't comply, we will find you, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, in contempt of Congress. He would be the first FBI director to be in contempt of Congress. So that's where we are.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you preface it with that. But why haven't they instigated that law and says, and give Christopher Wray a warning, say you've got X amount of hours to release that document or we're following, and again, Mark Levin quoted that stipulation in the Constitution. They can send out the investigation, like the, not the police, but Sergeant of Arms.
Answer your own question, Sam. Answer your own question. Why don't they do that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do they know that they have that much power, do you think?
Yes, they do. But they do. I asked this question yesterday of, who was it? It was Chip Roy. I asked Congressman Chip Roy, who's really in charge? And he had to admit, sadly, that the deep state, permanent Washington, is in charge. You elect these individuals to go up there and follow the Constitution. And Chip Roy, and to an extent Devin Nunes, admitted to me yesterday on Newsmax that these goose-stepping totalitarians who nobody elected, Christopher Wray, Merrick Garland, and the agencies they run that town. And your elected leaders are running scared.
Wow. I just hope that they would go by that and just say, hey, time is up and stop delaying. You know, the more time we give those guys, you know, that they're going to try to create another document to, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we've got to stop them now.
Why do you think so many of these leftists and these Marxists, whether they be in the Texas House or whether they be in Washington, D.C., in the deep state, why do you think they're working so hard to take away our firearms.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be the only ones with the guns. They've already got your elected officials by the short hairs, don't they, Sam?
That's right. Yeah.
And that's why some things that are to benefit the United States of America, our citizens, are not being done, and the things that benefit the elites and the ruling class are getting done because of that fact, sir.
Yeah, it's really scary, and it's affecting all of us Americans, you know, that what we're seeing now, that, you know, hell with the law, you know. I mean, this is probably right. linked to why we have so much crime in part.
Exactly.
Is that to say, you know, they're to not hell abiding with the law. Why should we?
Exactly. It's what they're doing in socialist countries. To hell with the law. They want power over you. Folks, this is Ken Paxton's attorney yesterday.
It was filled with falsehoods and misrepresentations, and they have never reached out to our office to determine whether anything that was contained in that testimony yesterday was remotely true. The process here has been completely lacking. They deserve to hear, the people deserve to hear, from this office in the context of this investigation.
That was the attorney who didn't get a chance during this so-called forum, this panel, that decided to impeach Ken Paxton. Five of them, three turncoat Republicans and two socialists, enabled by those Republicans. They were so secure that what they were doing was correct, they couldn't even let Ken Paxton speak on his own behalf. Does that sound lawful to you? Does that sound fair to you? I'll be right back.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Well, it's a constant war to try to counter what's going on now. Since the AP was given $8 million to promote climate change scare stories, and I'm sure there are other things going on, and they come on once a day now, easily. Now, let me say something about the super typhoon in the Pacific. It's a powerful feature. But the real metric of how bad these are landfalling intensity and size. Why is that? Because 50, 60, 70 years ago, we didn't have the kind of satellite saturation and observation we do now. So we did know how strong they were when they hit land, but they could have been anything out in the water. I often point to 1915, 1916, seven major hurricanes hit the Gulf Coast of the United States. Now, they were category threes and fours. They could have been fives in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Who was out there flying around? Snoopy and the Red Baron? And what else is going on besides the typhoon propaganda? And by the way, I don't think it's ever going to hit anybody. It's more than a one or two, if that. So we'll see how that works out. England. I'm still waiting for the big heat wave in England. It's supposed to be below normal next 15 days in London. And how about that Spanish drought? Huh? Oh boy, let's just jump on the drought. It was hot and dry last year. April was warm and dry. Guess what? There's going to be flooding in Spain the next 2 weeks. So it's the exact opposite of what was being said. But I'm sure they'll claim credit. It's climate change. We had to change what we were saying about the climate. Unbelievable. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance.
Hello?
Yes, police, fire, or ambulance.
It's my friend.
I love you, please. Okay, look, I need you to stay on the phone. Oh, just stay on the phone.
He's getting blown away.
Okay, now hang on. Oh.
000's sole job is to connect you to emergency services. So please, stay on the line and you'll get help faster.
The largest ingredient we have here is love.
Food is love. Love is food.
What God's love has always done is given people a platform to be able to show up and do something of service and think, yes, I've contributed to fighting back this pandemic.
And we're continuing to cook for and feed people who are underserved.
They rely on us before the pandemic. So I know with everything that's going on, they rely on us even more.
During the height of the crisis, each and every one of our drivers showed up every day.
As long as this place is open, and this place will be open as long as it's humanly possible, we will make sure you're served your food.
When COVID first hit, main thing that really clicked in my head was
are clients. Just clients, 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 clients. That's it.
You build a relationship with clients when you see them so often. They start to feel like you're a family member.
I try to have them smile before I leave their door.
And deliver the food with love.
We're here to deliver, and that's the job, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
If we don't do it, who would?
It's my job to make sure they're well fed and all their meals are prepared in the right, correct way.
I had a best friend who actually passed away from HIV in 2018. I'm still giving her the chance to live life inside of me, providing meals for the clients.
My father got a stroke a couple years ago, and I think about him. And when I cook over here, it's like cook for my family.
My grandmother died of Alzheimer's, and I know if she had this company, she would live a little longer. That's why I'm here.
And I think that it's kind of difficult to not make it personal.
I was needed, so I had to be there.
To know that I'm here, help feed them, I feel like a superhero.
My name is Ronnie Overson, and I'm a frontline worker for God's Love We Deliver.
And I'm a frontline worker here at God's Love We Deliver.
Y soy un trabajador de primera línea para God's Love We Deliver.
And I'm a frontline worker here at God's Love We Deliver.
Visit glwd.org to learn how you can get involved. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with Chris Salcedo on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Furthermore, this is an illegal investigation. Any discussion of impeachment is completely foreclosed by Texas law. Texas Government Code 665.081 says clearly that any proposed impeachment can only be about conduct since the most recent election. The voters have spoken. They want Ken Paxton.
Yeah, that's what the voters say. And the Texas House leadership, because Ken Paxton said, hey, don't think it's a good idea you stay in office because you're showing up to your job impaired, putting the lives of 30, legislating with the lives of 30 million people in the balance impaired, because he went after their speaker. The Republicans and the Democrats banded together, and now they're going to try to impeach Ken Paxton. It doesn't sound right to me that they would do all of this and not allow Ken Paxton to speak on his behalf. Apparently, in deciding to impeach Ken Paxton, they wouldn't allow his attorney to speak. So, what if one of you decides to be critical of the speaker or those who show up impaired for whatever reason? We can't really determine why they were impaired, but they obviously were on camera. And we plan on facilitating the release of many more of these lawmakers who showed up impaired while doing the business of 30 million Texans. So in an effort to cover up for what they've been doing, they want to impeach Ken Paxton. And by the way, not give him a chance to defend himself. The very same people who have been denying Ken Paxton his day in court going on 9 years now. Really? Let's get out to Spencer. Spencer, I'm glad you made it here to the Chris Salcedo Show on the Voice of Texas and TNT Radio. What's up?
Chris, always a pleasure. I know your roots are Hispanic, but do you have any ties on this Memorial Day to the U.S. military or relatives or anything like that?
I have members of my family who have served in the military, yes.
Oh, that's great. My dad, well, do you remember the great movie Patton and the phenomenal performance by George C. Scott. Did you see that?
Yep.
Do you remember the opening scene where he says, I'm not interested in you dying for your country. No poor SOB ever won a war dying for his country. He won it by making the other SOB die for his country.
Die for his country, exactly.
That was my dad. He won the Distinguished Flying Cross of World War II. So he's not in the memorial. Of course, he died many years ago. But, you know, not in battle, but he was one of those that George C. Scott, he was part of that greatest generation. And
that's why I find Joe Biden so offensive and others on the Democrat side with all of their constant stolen valor tales. You know, Joe Biden out there claiming his son, Bo Biden, died in Iraq, consistently repeating the lie.
Oh, yes. Using his son as a political prop. It's obscene.
It is obscene. And the only people who stand up for Joe Biden are the Republicans in the Texas House.
Well, so, at any rate, I'll move on to Ken Paxton. But I'm just wanted to say how proud I am of my father and what he did for this country 80 years ago or so.
Well said.
Yes. So I might have missed earlier. I'm sorry if I did. It's the end of school here with my kids, and it's party time. I missed the first part. But what happens in the Senate if Paxton is impeached in the House?
I've been trying to get an answer to that. My understanding is the Senate could just say, this is a completely partisan attack. This is a completely inappropriate, as the counsel for Ken Paxton says, illegal attempt to cover up for the malfeasance of the Texas House, the pro-Democrat malfeasance of the Texas House. So we're not going to even entertain it. They could accept the articles and then just dismiss them.
Well, Paul Bettencourt would have firsthand knowledge, right?
I don't know. This is not, as you know, he's a tax guy. So I don't know if this type of legal proceeding is his bailiwick or he's even found out. But we've been putting some inquiries in to figure out exactly what the Senate's role in this will be. Will the Senate help Dade Phelan cover up for this disastrous session, pro-Democrat, pro-socialist session, pro-communist session, and they're enabling communist China to continue to buy property in the state of Texas? Or will the Senate say this is just absurd and move on? I don't know. The honest answer, Spencer, is I don't know. Thank you, pal. Have a great weekend, and hope you have nothing but fond memories on this Memorial Weekend for your dad. Terry, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show. What's going on?
Hi, good morning, Chris. I'm a longtime listener, a first-time caller.
Thank you, ma'am.
I enjoy your show. I listen to you in the mornings and at 3 o'clock while I'm at the office.
Thanks
so
much.
Anyway, I'm calling about the Kim Paxton issue. I'm really, really angry about this. And my question is, how do we find out, how can we find out if I want to know if my state representative voted against Paxton.
Well, it hasn't gone to a full House vote yet. It's only the only Republicans who went on record were three Republicans on this panel with two other socialists. Okay.
Okay.
So it's going to go to the full House, and I'm looking for the names of the three leftists, Republicans, who did this. This would be Murr, Guerin, and Spiller. These are the three Republicans who voted to impeach Ken Paxton. Now, Charlie Guerin is the same Marxist who stabbed every parent in the back in Texas by leading the charge to make sure that parental school choice didn't get passed this session either.
I hate that. I mean, that's
I know. He is a disgrace. And these are the lieutenants who surround the bipartisan speaker. The bipartisan speaker, as you know, Speaker Dade Phelan is elected by Democrat and Republican votes. And so that's why the speaker is so beholden to delivering for Democrat priorities, even though he claims he's a Republican.
Rhino.
Well, I don't even know if that's appropriate, because what does Republican mean anymore? You know,
that's true. This is still true.
Yeah. So the next call you should make is to your representative and figure out who that is and say, when this vote comes up in the House, you had better not vote to cover up for the improprieties done by your leadership. You better not vote for it. If you do, then, you know, you've just created a warrior, shall we say, that somebody who was just trying to do their lives. Now you've given me an incentive to make sure you never return to the Texas House.
Mm-hmm. That's why we need to know exactly how we can find out who our representatives and how they're voting.
Really, really? Well, you need
I know
to
one
out.
Of my representatives is Charles Cunningham. I know he's one of my reps.
Mm-hmm. okay.
at the State House. But I know a lot of people don't know, you know.
Right. You need to find out who your rep is and then find out who your senator is for your particular district in Austin. And this is not the federal level. This is the state level. And then once you determine that, call their offices and let them know how you expect them to vote. Folks, this is a, and thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. First time caller. You did great, by the way. Folks, this is political retaliation at its worst. The Texas leadership in the House turned in a session that was pro-Democrat, pro-socialist, pro-communist, and in an effort to cover for their malfeasance, they've decided to put a cherry on top and try to impeach the conservative attorney general of the state of Texas, who the vast majority of you voted for. It's disgusting. They ought not be allowed to get away with it, and only we the people can stop it. See you Monday, The Voice of Texas and TNT Radio.